Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode 410 of the podcast, and it is a special New Year show. So happy New Year, although I am recording this a day before Monday, 31st of December, 2018. But this will go out on the 1st of January, 2019. And it's that weird time of year, isn't it, where you start saying 2019 and it feels strange. So wishing you a wonderful 2019, and may it bring you all kinds of fantastic creative challenges and many books written and read, which is pretty much a dream year. So today I am talking about trends for authors in 2019, and then I will talk about my own goals for the year ahead. And hopefully it will help you think about what you want for 2019. And if you haven't written your goals, or you haven't really thought about things yet, maybe you're still sort of in the post-Christmas, post-holiday season lull, then this might give you some things to think about. Now, I'm not doing any of the extra sections in today's show, just going to get straight on with my trends for 2019. So number one is, and you probably won't be surprised about this, but it is audio and voice technology. Now, I have been talking about this for a while. Oh, I think about 4 years. But I think things will really start to shift in 2018 has been a pretty big year for audio, but we're going to see further changes and exciting stuff. So audiobooks were the fastest growing segment in publishing in 2018. And if you haven't signed away your audiobook rights, then definitely consider exploiting them yourselves, whether you are traditionally published or self-published. And options right now for working with professional narrators include ACX.com, which has been kind of dominant. But this year, I think we're going to see Findaway Voices, who are going to do lots of exciting things. And also, I use Authors Republic as well. So there are lots of options for audio production wherever you are in the world. So what about voice technologies? Well, the main sort of the big dog in the room is really Amazon's Alexa, and that will continue to expand into multiple devices. And at CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show in January, you're going to see a lot more. So people will be interacting with their devices, with the internet, with content much more by voice. Google Home and Google Duplex are some of the other sort of the main voice technologies, with Siri on Apple devices like the Apple Watch. And my husband Jonathan has an Apple Watch, and it's quite interesting to watch him interact with the device with his voice in a completely different way than he has done with his phone, or in fact he hasn't done with his phone. So I think that's really fascinating. Also, we are going to see a shift towards searching for information and buying with voice through these various devices, and this means that voice search and discoverability will become ever more important. Now, I'm going to go into this in a lot more detail, obviously, in future shows, but natural language transcripts of podcast interviews will help, which is why I'm doubling down on this year. People speak differently than they write, as I'm sure you know, listening to this show and listening to interviews on TV and podcasts. People talk differently, they use different language, and when people type a question into Google or a search engine, it's quite different to what they might ask Alexa or Google Home or Siri or whatever. So this is a really fascinating change. So what else? Voice search uses Google snippets. So this, if you do a Google search, you'll get a little snippet. And I'm looking at plugins. And again, I'll be talking about this in much more detail. But this is, I guess, particularly relevant for nonfiction authors, but making sure you have short answers to commonly asked questions to maximize search on your website. Definitely something I'm looking at for this year. So in terms of how I'm addressing this theme, obviously I've been podcasting for almost 10 years and the 10 years of podcasting show will come up in March. And most of my books are already in audio format, but I am going to go much further in 2019. I'm going to get all my backlist into audio. So I am updating some of those older books like Career Change and going to get those into audio. Also the public speaking book, which really interesting to revisit that. I wrote that a few years ago now and I've done a lot more speaking since then, but it still holds up. I'm quite proud of that book. So I'm also going to start another podcast around my fiction themes. And also I'm going to build my own story voice brand. I think voice brand is going to become more and more important. And as I've talked about, I've been doing audiobook narration coaching and voice training. So, and I will be producing evidence of this pretty soon. And also, I've learned so much about storytelling and also about writing through this process, embodying characters and thinking about character traits. And I definitely have found this voice training to be quite transformational, actually, in many ways, in terms of self-development. And I will do a show on it once I have all my ducks in a row. So in terms of audiobook publishing, I will be getting my exclusive ACX stuff fixed, hopefully. If you're in a a non-royalty share contract, you can move out of exclusivity after 1 year. Many of my earlier audiobooks were done as a joint venture, you know, with the royalty share deal, so I can't change those. But the other books and all my new books, I'm going to be wide with audio. So at the moment, I only have one wide audiobook, which is The Successful Author Mindset. So you can get that on like Google Play and other places. And Kobo and Overdrive and all of that. But this year, 2019, we're going to see Kobo Writing Life direct audio, and also Findaway Voices has access to Storytell, which to me is the killer. It's the killer thing. That's what I wanted. Storytell, if you haven't sort of, I have talked a bit about it over 2018, but Storytell is the major company that is challenging Audible and are aggressively going after the markets that Audible does not dominate. So I absolutely want to be on Storytell, and Findaway Voices now has access. So I will be getting into that in 2019. So that's just a sort of a brief overview of the audio and voice technology trend, which I think is the one I will be focusing most on in 2019 for fiction and nonfiction and podcasting and audiobooks and everything and search. And it's just a fascinating time in audio. So, and I will very soon, in fact, be bringing you the first podcast interview with an expert in this niche. So, watch out for that. My next big trend is that indies will expand print market share in 2019. This is a fascinating one because over the last, let's say, 10 years, indie authors have become experts at publishing and marketing ebooks, ebooks first, pretty much, and print and audio secondarily. But I think 2019 is going to see further expansion into the print market. So KDP Print makes it easier to advertise print books on Amazon, which means more indies will advertise print books on Amazon. And in fact, more previously authors who may have only done ebooks will now also do print books because they've made it so easy and they've kind of put a button there, if you know what I mean, on the KDP dashboard. If you don't have a linked paperback, it looks kind of empty. So I think that people who have ebook only will kind of feel like, oh, well, I might as well do print. So I think there's going to be more print, and I'm talking print on demand here, if you're not aware. So Drafter Digital have also expanded into print production, and Ingram Spark, there's some possibilities with Baker and Taylor with Ingram Spark, which I talked about on a couple of shows ago. Also, in, you know, with Ingram, you can reach bookstores, libraries, universities, and they do hardback editions. So I have been, you know, I've been taking print seriously for a couple of years now, and it is through my print products that I just got this Korean foreign rights deal, but they found the print books on one of the various catalogues that Ingram Spark have. So I think this is going to be fascinating. I do think that the ability to advertise print books through Amazon Marketing Services or AMS directly through the KDP dashboard, this is going to mean big things. I think indies are going to start to take print market share from traditional publishers. I think we've seen the sort of discussion of, oh, ebook sales have stagnated at 25% or whatever. Of course, it hasn't. That's just the measurable stuff through traditional publishing. So I think this is very interesting. Also, because you do need an ISBN for a print book, we're going to see more measurable impact with print, because those they will come under some kind of measurement that at the moment ebooks and audiobooks don't. I also think, and this is, I think, quite radical, not radical, but very exciting, this change will happen in print-heavy niches, like children's books, as I discussed with children's author Karen Inglis in August of 2018. And Karen has a fantastic book on how to write and self-publish and market a children's book, children's books of all levels, but particularly print ones, and also literary fiction, poetry, and nonfiction. So these genres, not so much nonfiction. Lots of people buy nonfiction in print, but also buy it in ebook. But literary fiction and poetry and children's books, these are print heavy niches. And these genres have kind of, in the last 10 years, have found it difficult to sell a lot in ebook format, have been traditionally the genres that have not been so, in quotation marks, successful. And of course, there have been some standout examples. But I think what we're going to see, and what Karen is doing, and what other children's authors are doing, other literary fiction authors, other poets, is advertising their indie books next to traditionally published bestsellers, prize winners, etc., and gaining market share in those areas if the authors embrace things like Amazon ads, because the publishers in those areas and many of those authors in those niches are not comfortable with ads. So if you are in the niches that are more traditionally print-based, really consider understanding ads, because you will be ahead of the curve. And in fact, what's so funny is I feel like this is a reversal, because genre fiction has been the much easier place to sell and to make money as an indie. Some would say it still is, but I see this is a fascinating thing where if you are from an area where the authors and the publishers are not so into paying for ads, and you can now do ads on print, this is going to be a big deal. So that's another trend that I think is coming. And I said one of my quotes on one of these things, end of year things, what's old is new again. I feel like print may have been ignored by a lot of indies, or we've done it but we haven't really gone hard into it. Well, I think it's time to go hard into print, hence why I am doing my backlist in all the formats, which I will talk about again in a minute. Trend number three, a pay-to-play environment means more mid-list authors will drop away in indie and traditional publishing. So as I talked about in my roundup, 2018 roundup, Amazon really shifted their focus to grow advertising revenue, and similar to the way Facebook changed, organic reach is now pretty much impossible, or it's a lot smaller. So indie authors have been generally upskilling in Amazon ads and other advertising. We've all done BookBubs and, sort of newsletters for a while, but the sort of direct pay-per-click advertising is really now mainstream. What I think is interesting is this change has been highly noted in the indie community, but I'm starting to hear about dropping sales from traditionally published authors who are mainly selling with sort of digital only imprints, and also just really seeing sales start to trickle off in terms of this change with Amazon. It's not just indies, it's everyone. So as I've expanded my own Amazon ads and sort of paid more attention to who's advertising here in the UK anyway, I've only really seen advertising from traditional publishers for the big names. So, and in a really scattergun way. So I might have been searching for a map book. So, I buy quite a lot of books on maps and things for my Map Walker series, or just because I like books on maps. And I've seen, sort of the latest crime book come up on a map novel or a map book, and, just weird things that are clearly not targeted properly. But, you know, they're spending money on the big names in the scattergun way that they used to do with, or they still do really, with other media. Whereas once you get into ads, you kind of realize that going a lot more niche and more targeted is a better way of doing it. So what I think is going to happen, and also it's very hard to advertise even the amount of inventory that I have, let alone the amount of inventory that a traditional publisher would have. And if you are, let's say you're a mid-list author whose book came out 6 months ago, and you know, maybe you've got a small advance, maybe it's even ebook only, I just can't see that the traditional publishers are going to spend ad money on that. So what I think we're going to see is that this shift in the way that Amazon is now doing paid ads is going to have an effect on traditional publishing, and also within the indie community, people who are not into this and who are not going to do other forms of advertising will find it challenging in 2019. So I really think it's quite a disruption in a number of ways, and yeah, we shall see. And number four, this is my futurist angle. So on the show, if you're a regular listener, you know I usually do some kind of futurist discussion. And this is my futurist trend. It really is, it's definitely for 2020, but it's basically 5G. Laying the foundation for 2020. And there is a reason I'm bringing this up now, and I'll get to it in a minute. But basically, this is a trend that is going to affect us really over the next, let's say, 2 to 5+ years. And the rise of 5G is really a shift in this big way. So if you, like, you probably have heard of 5G. If you haven't, I mean, you've probably heard of 4G or 3G because it's what your mobile phone has in its top left corner. But 5G is not an incremental advance on 4G. It's actually, I've been reading lots about it. Basically, it's a step change that will enable a whole host of technologies that we have been waiting for and that I've been talking about for years. But basically, 5G is 100 to 250 times as fast as 4G with low latency, which is delay. So it will enable the real-time interaction that we just haven't had the network capability for. So this is the platform that's going to drive or enable self-driving cars, augmented reality, virtual reality, gaming, education, business within these virtual worlds, as well as AI and the Internet of Things. And again, much of this has been talked about for so long, but it's really this 5G network that's going to make a difference. Similar to the way, you know, the internet needed cables, and then we had, you know, mobile phones with Wi-Fi and, you know, different things, different network and kind of technical layers that enable the next level. This is what's coming. So yesterday I recommended AI Superpowers by Kai-Fu Lee as one of my books of the year. And he talks about the next development of AI as being similar to electricity. So for example, think about a washing machine. You know, back in the day, or in fact, if you go to some places around the world, women, and it generally is women, are still washing clothes, you know, by hand on rocks in the river. And then you think about washing machines that then had a kind of hand crank, and then we added electricity to a washing machine and it became something that worked on its own, and you just turn the thing and it does its thing. So an AI, adding AI to the washing machine, you know, where it will intelligently decide what wash you need. I mean, this type of thing is happening already, but 5G is going to enable this shift. So if you think about it as something as ubiquitous as electricity or the internet, or, you know, that type of shift, that is what we're talking about. Now, reading some of this stuff, I remember the quote from William Gibson, who said, "The future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed." And this is what we're going to see with 5G. And this is why you're seeing a lot of stuff about China and Huawei. There is a race going on for the 5G networks. And whoever sort of has the most, market share is going to be very much ahead on all of these future technologies. So this is, I find this absolutely fascinating. And as ever, I will be keeping you guys up to speed on this because it does affect us in so many ways. It affects our day-to-day life, but it also, this is the type of thing that will affect the economy. It will affect, you know, what people are doing. You know, self-driving cars, for example, means more consumption of content. It means more people want to write books because they have more time, that type of thing. But in terms of the not evenly distributed, the self-driving cars, like already happening in China, some already happening in places in America, they were talking about a retirement community where everything's now self-driving cars because the roads are designed for, you know, whatever, and people don't just walk out in front of things. So really interesting to think that some of this stuff is going to come to different places ahead of others. That's the same with all technologies. But definitely don't think that it's going to be the US and the UK and Australia and Canada and that France and Germany and all the places where we expect things to happen first. It actually may well be China, which is why reading something like AI superpowers is really interesting. So the reason I wanted to bring this up this year is most of the articles I've been reading say that 2020 will see mainstream 5G. So 1 year, 1 year's time, 2020 will go mainstream. Sorry, 5G will go mainstream. So 2019 is really the year to prepare and get ready for the shift. Now, I wanted to say this because many authors still don't even have mobile optimized websites. And mobile optimization is kind of a 5-10 year old technology at this point. And I was talking about this with someone over Christmas. They were buying a car for the first time for 26 years and were just really, really struggling with the difference between cars now and cars 26 years ago. You know, pretty much they're driving a vintage car. And it's similar with like your phone and the computer. The longer you leave it, the worse it's going to be when you actually make the change. So what's fascinating is mobile 5G promises to be 600 times faster than the current 4G mobile phones. Now, the number of internet searches and web browsing on mobile is already more than desktop and laptop. So what you're going to see 2020 onwards is kind of super fast mobile browsing, mobile stuff. So if you have an old website, and I know many of you listening, seriously, are still stuck with old websites that are not even mobile optimized, well, this is a good chance, a sort of heads up to prepare yourself for a year's time when I will probably be talking about this in much more detail. But yeah, I just wanted to mention it because a lot of people have not sorted this out. A lot of publishers have not sorted this out. So I also, again, the conversations I was having this Christmas were like, look, you can't just stay still. You cannot. Things are changing so fast that if you stay still, you will be behind. You have to actually move in order to stay still. You have to keep paddling. It's like the current. You have to keep paddling even to stay in the same place. And I really have been feeling this in the last year. I think in the last 6 months, really, I've kind of been like, aha, I need to change a few things. I have been doing this 10 years. I do need to upgrade some of my own thought patterns. And I talked a bit about this yesterday. I do need to consider a new way that the world may be. I don't want to be considered old. And I don't mean old in age, I mean old in mindset. And really, I'm so excited about the possibilities for authors, for creatives. But in order to be excited about this stuff, you have to know what's going on. So luckily, I do have a tutorial on building your own website with a mobile optimized theme. Of course, you can go and check that out, thecreativepen.com/author website. And I show you the themes I use, and my themes are mobile optimized. And I'm very, really interesting to think what the technology is going to be in the next few years. So, you know, when I was thinking about what I've been talking about probably for 4 or 5 years now, you know, doing my podcast in virtual reality, my book launches in virtual reality in the Paris catacombs. I've been talking about this for years. Will I be taking you on an augmented reality walk around Southwark and South Bank in London via your 5G mobile phone with heads up display on your cool glasses? Will we be selling our books within curated virtual worlds like Ready Player One? Will there be AI-driven translation so our books can be consumed in any language in any country? So what I've put on my notes here is none of this will happen in 2019. But 2020 onwards with the 5G networks, we are finally, I think, looking at some of these big changes. So a lot has changed. A lot will continue to change. But as ever, I am super excited and fully intend to be here along the way. Right, then I have a couple of thoughts from Drafter Digital and also Kobo Writing Life. So Kevin Tomlinson at Drafter Digital says about 2019, from our perspective, we believe the big waves on the horizon include international sales and translations. We also think that authors, particularly US authors, but generally all English speaking authors, will start seeing the potential for foreign rights as well as film and television rights. I think it's hilarious that Kevin says that because, foreign rights and translations and international sales, something we've been thinking about a lot over here for a while. So in addition, in 2018, we started putting our chips on libraries and subscription services as a huge and lucrative growth area for self-published authors. And we believe that will see an uptick in 2019. I totally agree with that. I think, again, I feel like we've dominated or we've been able to take a big chunk out of, you know, ebook sales on Amazon. And in some cases, some of these other sites, Kobo and iBooks and Apple Books and Nook and all of that. But realistically, we have not made inroads into libraries, subscription services other than KDP Select, that type of thing. So it's really great to kind of think that we're going to be stepping out into the other zones in 2019. And finally, Kevin says, we think collaboration will be huge in 2019, with a greater number of authors working together to produce more and better work and to find and reach new readers. Collaborative and cooperative will become the buzzwords for 2019. Which made me laugh because when I did this 2 years ago, so 2017, I said the buzzwords were collaboration and cooperation. When I did, well, I think I did 5 co-written books in 2017. So yeah, I think this will definitely continue growing and really interesting stuff from Kevin there. And as ever, thanks to Drafter Digital for what they do in the author community. And then from Christine Munro from Kobo Writing Life, who truly is one of the nicest people in the self-publishing world. Of course Kevin is, of course everyone is, but I've put a picture on the show notes of me with Chrissy at Nink. Really enjoyed hanging out with her and just very, very happy to have such a smart person at the helm of Kobo Writing Life. When Mark Lefebvre left and went to Drafter Digital, it was like, oh, I hope this is going to be good, but Chrissy's awesome. And Chrissy says, Kobo Writing Life direct audio uploading will be our first major platform update of 2019. We are still taking beta authors, so anyone with audio files ready to go should email us at writinglife@kobo.com. I'm exceptionally excited to add to the growing number of options authors have for reaching audiobook fans around the world. And yes, I am super excited about Kobo's direct audio uploading. I think that's very exciting. Additionally, we're working on a big update to the KWL sales dashboard, taking into account user feedback we've been collecting over the past year. Throughout 2018, we rolled out more updates than ever before, ranging from launching Walmart ebooks, partnering with Orange in France for audio, which I think is super smart. I think partnering with the mobile networks for audiobook bundling is awesome, and growing Kobo Plus in the Netherlands, to fixing free download tracking, updating payment history and adding downloadable sales reports, opening Overdrive distribution to all users, and remember, Overdrive is libraries, refreshing refreshing categories for KWL authors, with now over 2,000 to choose from, and increasing promo opportunities by over 15%. We have similarly lofty goals for 2019 and beyond, and we are extremely lucky and proud to be collaborating with so many incredible authors around the world. So thank you to Chrissy and the Kobo Writing Life team. Again, just wonderful partners with authors and super nice team. So if you are at an author event in 2019 and you see Chrissy or anyone from Kobo Writing Life, go and say hi. And that stands true for Drafter Digital as well. And in fact, anyone within the community, I think, would be happy to talk to you. All right, let's get into my goals section. So, my creative goals for 2019, and I hope this gives you some food for thought as to what you're aiming for this year. So, number one, be a better publisher. Make more of what I already have. And I asked this in the discussion I had with Orna Ross, which is which I put up last week on the blog, and you can have a look at that. But essentially, if you were the author and you were talking to you as the publisher, would you be happy with you in terms of what you're doing for your author? So split yourself into two and imagine that you're just the author and you're talking to the publisher. Is the publisher doing a good enough job for you? What else do you want that publisher to do for you? And in fact, the most moans that I hear about publishers from authors are, you know, not in enough formats and not doing enough marketing. So perhaps that applies to you as the publisher for your own books. So I will be making more of what I have. I will be getting my backlist into large print and hardback, as well as audio book formats. So all my books are available in all formats, and this actually could take all year, as I have 28 books and counting. Of course, I add more. Most are in ebook and paperback, some are in audio, some are in large print, some are in hardback. So I need to basically go through. Also, looking at maximizing sales on platforms like Google Play, where basically my books are available on Google Play, but I have not maximized that. I have not done any advertising to kind of get them moving. And I only started really doing that mid-2018 with Publish Drive. So I need to do some BookBub ads. I need to do some more Kobo advertising. I want to look at my library stuff. Want to maximize my formats through Ingram Spark. Also, we have built a little database to track all of these formats, license periods, ISBNs. I have been managing it all on a spreadsheet, but my spreadsheet is kind of broken. So I have looked at some of the publishing databases that are out there, but they're all priced for big publishing companies. So we've just built our own little pivot table database to track all of this different stuff. Because you want to, like, now I'm sort of signing foreign rights deals and that type of thing. I need to know when the license comes up. So really interesting to kind of look at managing. And I definitely have some sympathy for publishers, because it's hard enough to manage the number of things that I do just as an individual, let alone managing the thousands of books and formats and things that traditional publishers must do. So remember, you care most about your books. As I mentioned, I'm also going wide with audio. So I'm sort of going through my backlist and looking at contracts and looking at how to get on Storytel with Findaway and looking at Apple Books and looking at Kobo Writing Life for direct audio. So basically, I am becoming a better publisher and doing better for my author, which is me. My second big thing, obviously, one is making the most of what I have. Second, or first or second, these are all kind of together, but write more books. So yes, continue creating. Now, this year I've said write more books as JF Penn, because I am not going to do any non-fiction books this year. I am doing fiction. So I've pretty much been a two book a year person for a while. Sometimes two books and a novella, sometimes two books and a short story. So I'm not massively prolific in terms of fiction production. I do find my books are very deeply researched, and I enjoy that part of the process. I definitely am not cutting that out. That is part of the reason I became a writer, is for the research process. So I will definitely be continuing with that. I want to do the next Matt Walker dark fantasy, which I have sort of blocked a few ideas out so far, but I have a lot more research that I need to do. I have this standalone horror novel idea set in the South Pacific that I've had in my brain for a while. Back in 1999, I actually sailed on a tall ship from Fiji to Vanuatu. It was 7 days blue water sailing, which means nothing on the horizon, no land. And the memories of that trip came back to me last year, and I got an idea for pretty much a standalone horror novel. So I want to write that, and I also have another arcane thriller, possibly set in Amsterdam, and also some short stories, and more audio. So I have a lot bumping around in my head, and I need to settle on the project. It probably will be the next Matt Walker book, to be honest. Number three, continue serving the author community through the creative pen. So yes, I am committing to another year with you guys. So the blog, the podcast, it will continue throughout 2019. And I'm already scheduled all the way out till June. So 6 months of interviews already scheduled. So lots coming. We will be doing voice technology, building a company of one, business models for writers, writing horror, writing heroes and villains, even, an insight into traditional publishing, a different take on book marketing, lots more on audio, and of course much more. So I, as I mentioned, I won't be writing any more nonfiction books, but I will be updating what I do have, doing audiobooks, and I will be doing some mini courses, starting with productivity for authors, which many people have asked about. If you're interested in any of my courses, go to thecreativepen.com/courses. Number four, content marketing for fiction. So I've talked about this before Christmas and everything, but basically over the last 10 years, I've built a multi six-figure business based on content marketing, blogging and podcasting around my nonfiction. And in the next 10 years, I intend to do the same for my fiction. So that's my kind of big statement, is essentially I'm building another business, and it will be around a destination site that does not include my author name. And it will be around the themes of my fiction and everything that I do in that way. I'm not going to reveal it until March, when I will have a new site and a new podcast, and I will be carving out time, as I'll talk about in a minute. So I have no plans to slow down the creative pen, but I do want to build for my next 10-year goal. I don't know what the indie community or the writing world will be like in 10 years, but it may be that I'm focusing more on these other things. So who knows? But I'm really excited about the new site, and I may well spin it off as another business depending on how it goes at some point. So I will be sharing my behind the scenes development in my mini course on content marketing for fiction. Again, you can join that at thecreativepen.com/courses if you're interested. Number five, focus on freedom, outsourcing, batching and systems. So everything so far has been sort of yay, creation, content, fun, writing. And then I come on to something that sounds a little bit dry, but really important. So my number one value is freedom. And that continues to shape my business as an independent author and running my business and everything, and the way I live, which is a pretty minimalist lifestyle. And I want to write books, travel, learn new things and help more writers. Those are the things I want to do. But what's happened really with the website and with everything I'm doing is that I have had increasing admin work and email, which is the unsexy side of running your own business. And I actually had periods in 2018 where I felt angry and frustrated by the amount of time I was spending doing admin and email. And I have given some of it to the wonderful Alexandra, my virtual assistant. I've tried to split other things out, but it really is huge. And this is because the website traffic continues to grow. So the website now, The Creative Pen, gets over 700,000 uniques per month. And inevitably, a lot of those people end up emailing with questions. And Just to be clear, I am not talking about you guys. I'm not talking about patrons. So if you're a patron of the show, if you're a customer, if you have my email and you write me a personal email, that's still going to go to me. What I'm talking about is the huge number of people who will email with questions and have not even looked at the website, as in, you know, people email and go, how do I self-publish a book? It's like, seriously? I mean, if you go to the Creative Pen, you can find the answer to that pretty quickly, and it's a free ebook. So what I'm talking about is, you know, cold pitches that I get all the time, admin tasks that do not need me personally. And it's almost just that a lot of my time has been taken up with people who have not tried to find the answer on the things that I provide already. So as I'm saying this, and I just want to make sure that you understand that this is not about you. You're a listener to my show, and you are probably one of the people who has bought my books, who does support the show, who has shared the show with other people, and most people respect time. But it's incredible the amount of email that comes in as a percentage of just traffic from a website. So just to reiterate, if you write me a personal email, I will still get it, but I will be outsourcing. And it was really after talking to Yarrow Starak in episode 406, and Yarrow just challenged me on this, and I just felt, you know what, I have to do this, mainly because I want, you know, I've booked a trip 3 weeks away in November. I'll talk about it in a minute. And I've been just thinking, I can't take 3 weeks away. I can barely do 24 hours without trying to stop my email building up to a ridiculous amount, like 200 emails in a 24-hour period. So this is more about triage. And again, reiterating, please do send me your personal email. But so this is what I'm going to be doing. This will force me to become more systematized and to have, you know, prepared answers for things, and really to have standard operating procedures in the way that any established business should have. And I'm running an established business. The fact that it's mainly me and some of Jonathan's time, obviously Alexandra and Dan on the podcast, and my designers, and I mean, obviously I have freelancers, but it's still mainly me. But I wrote this in the notes. I need to stop feeling like I have a day job again. And that's how it felt this year. Truly, I felt like I am at the beck and call of other people every day. And that's not why I run my own business. So either I employ a CEO or I outsource my inbox. So that's happening. Also, I have said no to all speaking opportunities in 2019, and I am really happy about that. I feel like I can serve you and the community much better through my podcasts, through my books, through my courses. I want to write. I want to share on the show. I want to do more audio. I want to travel for book research. I have said that the only exception is if I am in places I rarely visit and want to meet the local community. So, for example, depending on our family health situation, I may well be back in New Zealand a lot more. So I might speak there, for example, because I very rarely speak in New Zealand. But generally, I'm just, you know, not doing speaking stuff. Also, I'm going to be batching things a lot better. I talked about this last year, but I fell off the wagon a bit mid-year. So I'm working through my calendar for 2019, really blocking out sections, and generally just trying to be a better business person, trying to be someone who maximizes time for creation and serving the community through the most efficient way, which is scalable work. And email is not scalable. It's an individual one-to-one thing. And again, I'll reiterate it. If you send me a personal email and you're a patron, or you're, you know, a customer, or you've read my books or whatever, of course, I'm still going to reply to you. It's just the triage stuff. I hope I've made that clear. So my question, just reflecting on this particular thing, is, yeah, we all have to do admin. We all have to do the business work. I mean, the publishing side is pretty hardcore. The marketing side is hardcore. But we do have to hand things over to other people if they are making us miserable. So are there things that make you miserable or stress you out? Here's another example that I heard someone talking about. I do pay for a cleaner in our very small flat. Now, it is a very small flat, so I feel guilty about this pretty much every time. But if that is, you know, a couple of hours when I would probably be doing it, and it also means less of a fight with my husband over who's doing the housework. So that's an example of paying for something that I could do myself, but gives me more time and also gives me more freedom and less stress. So that's kind of something I'm really thinking about for 2019. And then finally, talking about the healthy writer and the traveling writer. So I'm still doing yoga. In fact, I've just come from yoga this morning. Really happy to get back to yoga. Really pleased with my functional movement improvements and my mental health and my breathing space. But I also need to up my cardio fitness. So a couple of years back, we cycled through Southwest India for a few weeks, and it was amazing. And this year we have booked another big cycle trip to Thailand, Cambodia and Vietnam towards the end of 2019. So going to train for big bike trip. And that's the 3 weeks that I want to be off my email, off the internet, digital fasting. And I almost feel anxious about it already. So my aim is by the time I go on that trip, I will be cycle fit, but I will also be business fit. I should be able to walk away from this business for a couple of weeks and not feel like I have to be on the beck and call of people all the time. So that's my plan. Also, some other travel that may well happen, just waiting to see what's going on with the family situation. Maybe Amsterdam, maybe New Zealand again, maybe some other things. So yeah, lots going on. And in terms of the healthy writer, hopefully you've either got the book that I did with Dr. Ewan Lawson, or you may get it because it's that healthy time of year. And I'll just mention that again in a minute. But finally, I just wanted to sort of reflect on the fact that everything changes and everything stays the same. So I talked a bit about this in the trend piece, but when I look at my goals from year to year, they're pretty much the same. I mean, I want to write, I want to publish, I want to travel, I want to research, I want to learn, I want to help more people, help more writers along the author journey. I want to continue running my own business and living a life of creative freedom, which means I want to make good money with my writing. So the practice of writing stays the same, the creative urge stays the same, but the change comes in the technology around publishing, marketing, making a living with our writing. That's where the technology shifts. And also, I think 2019, don't want to dwell on it too much, but I think there's going to be some big changes in the political environment, in the economic environment that bring challenge our way. And we need to stay up to speed with developments as they arrive. And that is not reflected so much in my annual goals, but in the weekly updates that I bring you through the podcast and also the introductions that I do over the year. So I will continue sharing my journey in 2019 back every Monday from next week. And I hope you will join me this year as we head into another creative year. And of course, if you would like to support the show and you'll get the extra Q&A every month and you can ask whatever questions you like, you can support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/ The Creative Pen for less than a coffee a month or a coffee or so a month if you're feeling generous. Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed this look forward into 2019. I'd love to know what you have thought of today's show. What do you think the trends are? What are your goals for 2019? You can add them onto the show notes. So if you go to thecreativepen.com/podcast, episode 410, you can put your comments there, or you could tweet me at thecreativepen with a double N. So next Monday, we are back on the regular schedule with Lessons for 21st Century Creatives with the wonderful Mark McGuinness. And in fact, I am on Mark's show today. The 21st Century Creative is a fantastic podcast series. Stephen Pressfield's on there, a whole load of other awesome people, and I'm interviewed about the healthy creative. So if you would like to get healthy in 2019, go check out Mark's show. You can find it on your podcatcher, 21st Century Creative, or go to lateralaction.com. And so next week, Mark and I will be talking about setting boundaries and protecting creative time, the different types of assets that creatives need to have, serving the reader, rest and taking time off, and much more. So join me next week and into 2019. Happy writing, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at thecreativepen or find me on Facebook at thecreativepen. See you next time.